President Trump once more criticizes the Federal Reserve.
We have people on the Fed that really weren't, they're not my people.
Plus, technology stocks just had their best five-day stretch in 7.5 years.
The tech sector is really the one that benefits from the sort of the economic and political good news.
And the murdered half-brother of North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un was a CIA informant. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we get into our main story this morning, just how President Trump's repeated hectoring of the Fed has complicated interest rate decisions, here's what you missed. We're reporting this morning that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's murdered half-brother Kim Jong-nam was an informant for the CIA. Mr. Kim met on several occasions with agency operatives, according to a person knowledgeable about the matter. He was killed at an airport in Malaysia in February 2017 when two women smeared his face with the nerve agent VX. The U.S. and South Korea blamed the attack on North Korea, but that's something that the country denies.
It's great until it's time to find gifts. Then I discovered Shutterfly. Their photo books are the perfect way to give someone...
And chances are, if you've ever found yourself trying to turn a digital photo into a physical one, you've stumbled upon companies like Shutterfly or its rival, Snapfish. Today, we're reporting that the private equity firm Apollo Global Management has made an offer to buy both firms for roughly $2 billion. The deal terms have not been disclosed. It comes at a difficult time for the industry as online photo sharing services have become ubiquitous. Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, the biggest event in the video games industry, the E3 Expo, is currently underway. Our technology reporter, Sarah Needleman, has been speaking with J.R. Whalen from the conference about the latest offerings from the likes of Microsoft and Google.
So, Sarah, Microsoft took the spotlight even before the Expo got started. Xbox One owners are excited, I would imagine, because they'll soon be able to stream games onto their mobile devices.
Microsoft normally holds an event just ahead of the Expo. And during that event, the company announced more than 60 games coming to the Xbox. And indeed, it did say it will start publicly testing game streaming from its Xbox One console to mobile devices in October.
Now, Microsoft certainly isn't the first company to announce this. Google announced its own game streaming service earlier this month.
What Google is doing is they are streaming games from almost any internet-connected device. So it could be a TV, a laptop, a desktop, or a mobile phone, although right now it's just the Pixel 3 phones that they put out. And the service will launch in November. And it's $10 monthly, or you can buy games a la carte. And they're going to launch with about 30 games, although most of them are older games that have been out for a while, and they're not any of the big blockbusters that gamers are most familiar with. But there are a couple of big names out there, and at least two new ones launching on the service.
That was Sarah Needleman speaking with J.R. Whalen about the E3 Expo. Now, our main story this morning, just how President Trump's repeated hectoring of the Federal Reserve has complicated interest rate decisions. Here's what the president had to say to CNBC yesterday in response to a question about whether he thought the Fed had listened to him.
No, they haven't listened to me. And, you know, we have people, it's more than just Jay Powell. We have people on the Fed that really weren't, they're not my people.
So how has this changed the environment in which the Fed must determine whether economic conditions warrant a rate cut? Our Fed reporter Nick Timmerosch has been speaking to Charlie Turner from Washington.
Well, let's be upfront about this, Nick. Has any Fed chief ever faced such pressure before from a president?
Actually, yes. You could probably say that this is something Fed chairs in the post-war period have faced. What's different about President Trump is that his criticism has been much more public of the Fed. So just to go back in time, in the 1960s, the Fed chairman by the name of William McChesney Martin was very unpopular with President Johnson. Recall that Johnson was trying to boost domestic spending while fighting the Vietnam War, and he did not like the fact that the Fed was raising borrowing costs to limit inflation. And so he was very critical privately of Martin. There's a story about how he pushed him up against the wall, said, my boys are dying in Vietnam and you won't give me the money I need. So there is a history of presidents putting pressure, usually in private, on the Fed chair. What's different about this president is that he does it pretty often in public via Twitter, via interviews or off-the-cuff statements to reporters on his way to Marine One helicopter. And so it creates a perception problem for the Fed, because the Fed doesn't want to be seen by the markets as responding to anything but the economic and financial market data that they analyze. That could change the way investors think about inflation and bond yields and so forth.
You described three challenges Fed Chair Powell is navigating at this point. What are they?
So the Fed has to set the right interest rate at the right time. The Fed has to explain clearly what they're doing and why they're doing it. And those are two challenges that every Fed leader faces. But the third one is unique, as we've talked about, and that is that he has to deal with this public pressure campaign, very loud criticism from the president, something that we haven't seen since the early 1990s. President George Bush Sr. was the last president who even said publicly what he thought the Fed should be doing. President Clinton and his two successors, Bush and Obama, maintained this rule where they were not going to comment on the Fed. And Clinton's advisors convinced him that this was a good policy for him because they had seen how President Bush, this is first President Bush, had called on Greenspan to lower rates, and Greenspan didn't go along with it. And so Clinton's advisors told him, look, you really don't have anything to gain by pressuring the Fed. They're going to do what they think they need to do, and you putting pressure on them isn't going to make their life any easier. They may feel like they have to do the opposite to look independent. So Clinton and then Bush 43 and Obama never said anything about the Fed, and that was a tradition that continued up until about a year and a half into Donald Trump's presidency.
Doesn't Fed Chairman Powell face pressure to cut rates for the rest of the year, including at the June meeting?
So the Fed's next meeting is in less than 2 weeks, on June 18th and 19th. And it seems likely that even if they don't cut rates at that meeting, there will be a debate about whether they should. And so now you're getting into a situation where even if it didn't look like the Fed was going to need to cut rates when President Trump started calling for the Fed to cut rates, the president has taken some actions that could worry the Fed enough that they now think they have to cut interest rates. The markets are expecting the Fed will cut rates by their July meeting, and so it looks much more likely now than it did just a month ago that the Fed is going to have a very serious conversation about whether and when they need to cut their benchmark interest rate.
You can find Nick's article on WSJ.com. On to markets. The S&P 500 information technology sector rose nearly 9% in the past five sessions. That's its best performance since October 2011, according to the Dow Jones market data. So what's causing renewed optimism in the sector? Our markets reporter Mike Bird has more.
I think the biggest reason that the U.S. tech sector is doing so well at the moment is really down to the U.S. Federal Reserve, which has signaled that it's not only done hiking interest rates, but it may be looking to cut interest rates. And the tech sector is really the sector that led the US equity market for a number of years during the economic recovery after the financial crisis. And it's really coming back again, sort of spurred on by those lower interest rates. There's also been better news on trade in terms of reaching a sort of putative deal between the US and Mexico. And the tech sector is really the one that benefits from the sort of the economic and political good news on these fronts, as it has done in the last 10 years.
And now the SCED. Here's what to look forward to later today. President Trump heads to Iowa for a rally. It's his first visit this year to the perennial battleground state. Unlike the Democrats focused on the February caucuses, he'll be looking ahead to the general election. He's also visiting the state amid unrest over tariffs, many of which have been placed on farm exports. And Canada has said it will ban single-use plastics as early as 2021. Here is Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announcing the move.
Imagine some of your fondest memories. Maybe you're camping or cottaging, canoeing or fishing. Now imagine those memories punctuated by dead birds or fish. Or maybe a pile of coffee cup lids and shopping bags covering the ground or floating all around you. That's the reality for our kids if we don't act now.
Finally, some good news if you're planning a summer vacation. The average price for a gallon of regular gas has hit its lowest level in more than 2 months. In some parts of the country, a gallon has fallen below $2. That's according to figures from price tracking firm GasBuddy. It comes after the market for U.S. crude oil briefly fell into bear market territory last week. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.